Now, Green, you're with us and you're going to play, I'm very excited to say, two brand new tracks for us now. Can you tell us a bit about their genesis?
Written in the last few days, really. Maybe started a couple of weeks ago, one of them. So I have to read the lyrics from a piece of paper. But yes, they're kind of short and they're relatively simple musically. But I just sat down and they sort of popped up. And so I thought it'd be quite nice to come and play them.
They haven't got official titles yet, have they? What are you going to call the first one?
The first one, I think, it's got the working title Unfrozen.
Perfect.
Make sure the boots are unfrozen and red. Make sure the heat is pure willow. Make sure the start of the end is at hand. Wash your tears down on my pillow, love. Lay your head down on my pillow. Take care your shoes are uncertain and safe. Take care out there on the Dugo. Sophie tonight, I'll tell your mother you've spoken of. Oh, I'll tell your mother you said hello. And I know that you're always the first to work. I have seen always the first into the world. I believe you. You're always the first into the world. They have seen you. Always the first into the world. Make sure are unfrozen in red. Make sure the heat is pure willow. Make sure the start of the end is at hand. Lay your head down on my pillow. Lay your head under my pillow.
Green Gartside of Skriddy Politti together with Dave Ferret playing there a brand new track live for us here in the barn with the title, well, the working title anyway, of Unfrozen. One of the things I really love, Green, about that song is are the textures that are interplaying within it, particularly the use of that broken chord figure on that slightly flanged guitar you've got going there. Is that something you use a lot, that kind of texture?
No, it's kind of... finger-picking guitar is something that I wish I could do better. And I'm just sort of beginning to get interested in the different techniques, and think it's time to explore the different tunings as well. So that's a whole new palette for me. But I love the harmonic possibilities that open up with that way of approaching chords and things.
Another thing that I really love about that particular track is the way that you're constantly kind of moving around between, well, what is a C major 7 chord and a B flat major chord. So it's a sense of lack of resolution.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got that... then to... obviously, sooner or later, you want it to go to there, and eventually
it
you do give us that release.
Yes.
But so there's a sense of we're held, we're really held by that.
Well, I like that. It's very, one of my great heroes, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. I love the way he explored what you could do with the two chords just going back and forth. I don't know, it's something that I've always enjoyed, and you know, putting off the resolution until later.
I don't know if you noticed, Green, but while you were talking then, a dove flew into the barn rather portentously, and it's actually just flown out again.
You had white doves.
Well, indeed, yeah, harbingers of peace and all that. Well, it's interesting because the track you're going to play now, I heard you rehearsing, and it's got a sort of what sound to begin with anyway, like sort of almost bird-like electronics over certainly the first part of the song.
Yeah, I found this little plug-in synthesizer that has a complete random function, i.e. you just hit it and all the parameters are randomly assigned. So you don't quite know what you're going to get, which is good fun. And so I just pressed a few buttons till I had a little twittering sound that I liked. And that was the beginning of this song, really, and then that seemed... I was quite interested in the idea of putting a kind of a drone against it, which worked against it, and playing around with something that's, again, very simple, but kind of based on English traditional music, in my mind at least, to some extent.
Well, let's hear it now, live and for the very, very first time ever, with the working title Forgiven. Here is Green Gartside.
First ever performance of Forgiven, Green Gartside. Green, again, beautiful song. Thank you very much for that.
Thank
Something that intrigues me about when I hear you talking is that your spoken voice is very, very different, more different than is often the case with singers, from your singing voice, that there's a different kind of resonance altogether when you speak from when you sing.
That's something I'm not terribly aware of. Although I'm aware that my singing voice has changed a lot over the years. When I first started making my first record, made in the late 70s, I sang with an English accent. I think that was because, you know, my heroes were Robert Wyatt and Joe Strummer at the time, principally. And that finally gave way, not consciously, but it sort of drifted towards some sort of transatlantic thing when I started listening to more R&B and things for the first time in my life. And I think it's moved again. I've always been mistrustful of the idea of the authenticity of a voice. So it sort of doesn't surprise me that I sing, you know, in a way that I don't speak. I think that's quite nice in a way. Sometimes it's like an alter ego, almost.
When you talk about the authenticity of a voice, I mean, it seems to me that you know, what makes your singing work so well is that it's truthful. You're not putting on a different suit to sing. It's part of who you are. It just happens to be a different colour from that which you employ when you speak.
Yes. Well, I used to speak with a Welsh accent as well. I was amazed to go home and find some old cassettes of me revising for my exams, geography exams, and I was talking about the savannah and the grasslands in South Africa, and I thought, good grief, did I ever talk like that? So I don't know. It's none of these transitions have been conscious.
And are you aware of being one of those people who sort of hoovers up accents? So, like, say, if you're in New York, and I know you've spent a lot of time living there and working there, do you find yourself speaking like a kind of a Bronx boy?
I hope not. No, I'm quite... I think I may have when I was younger. Yeah, I definitely done that a bit. But I guess it goes with sort of some maturity or growing confidence that I don't actually any longer go around chameleon-like trying to sound like everybody else.